Well, if we continue to look into the book of Acts, you can really see that the emphasis of the apostles when they were so-called preaching the good news, they are preaching the kingdom of God. You see, if you just share salvation, you're very limited in your view. But if you preach the kingdom, it includes salvation. But many people who share salvation miss the goal, which is the kingdom. Right? So although it's the kingdom of the heavens, it's called the kingdom of the heavens, it doesn't mean that it is heaven. And that is why many of the Christians, they preach, after you're saved, where do you go? Go to heaven. But meanwhile, where are you? And what do you do on this earth? Business, work, go to school, build up your family, build your house, build your home, buy a good car, nice, you're doing a lot of things, go on vacation. How about that? Once a year, go on cruise. You know, in German, cruise means Kreuz, a Kreuzfahrt, which is the cross. Kreuz means cross. And recently I read in the news there are so many viruses going on in the cruises. So stay home. So, build God's kingdom. It's better. Right? Anyway, I'm just joking with you. But, you know, but when I talk about kingdom, I really meant it. The kingdom is very, very important. So if you talk about just salvation, you're very limited in your views because you don't see the purpose. So a lot of people are just talking about being saved, not being thrown into the lake of fire. And now you're saved. Saved by the blood. And the blood, yeah, the blood can cleanse you and forgive your sins. But the blood cannot change you. You're not changed by the blood. You can take the blood all you like. It's available to you. But it doesn't change your life. It cleanses you. It's the basis for God's forgiveness. He can forgive you, but you'll be doing the same thing all over again. But the real salvation is by his life. Like what Romans chapter 5 says, much more we shall be saved by his life. It is the life that will transform you, that will change you, that will conform you to the image of Christ. The blood cannot do that. Don't get mixed up in your understanding of salvation. No, don't get mixed up. No. A lot of people are mixed up. You get mixed up. I have seen a lot of people got mixed up. You can take the blood. Your whole Christian life, of course you need a blood, just like your soap. Every day you're using soap. Can soap change your internal organ? No, it cannot. It can only cleanse your hands or your face or your body. And then maybe some antibacterial soap, which is not advisable to use. Right. Yes, because it's going to clean away a lot of good bacteria that is in a layer of a skin that is protective for you. Right. So, anyway, that's just a piece of advice, but it's not in the Bible. But soap cannot change you. Food, life can change you. The life can change you. So, as powerful as the blood is to cleanse you and the basis for the forgiveness through your confession, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But in your flesh and yourself, you're still living in the flesh. You're still unrighteous. And no change. If there's no change in your life, when the Lord comes, there's judgment. Don't say, oh, I have the blood. Yes, you have the blood. I know. I have the blood too. Don't say, I appreciate the blood, maybe I more so. Who knows? But I realize the blood cannot change me. It is the wonderful spirit of life that dwells in me and my cooperation with him, learning to obey him, listening to his voice and speaking day by day, and to learn to live Christ, that can change our life. So may the Lord really have mercy on us. And this change and this transformation that takes place is not just so that you'll be like him, but it is for what? For the kingdom. Because without the change, how can we be built up together? If you live yourself and I live myself, you do your own thing, I do my own thing, then how can we be built up together into God's kingdom? Impossible. It's not possible. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes to see that even in the book of Acts, beginning with our Lord Jesus Christ, spending 40 extra days on this earth, he was talking about the kingdom of God. Of course, if the Lord had only 40 days to remain on this earth, he would not be talking about things that are not important, right? I believe he would be talking about the most important thing. I come here just for 1 week. I'm not going to joke with you and talk about, I don't know what. But, I hope I'm not doing that. Right? But there's just a couple of days I'll be talking about the important matters. And the Lord spending 40 days on this earth speaking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God touches every area of our Christian life. Don't think in your family, that's the family. The church is the kingdom. My family is my private domain. No. How you live in your family life is going to be how you are in the church life. Believe me. How you treat your wife is going to be how you treat the saints. Yes. How you live there is going to be how you live here in the church life. Don't live a double life or triple life. Some people live a quadruple life. Right? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Whether he's at home, whether he's by himself, whether he's with the saints, whether he's at work, wherever he is, for him to live is Christ. We need to all exercise that for the kingdom. For the kingdom. So, wherever Paul went, now this morning I list just a couple of verses here in the book of Acts. Acts 1, 3, 8, 12, 14, 22, 19, 18, 20, 25, 28, 23, and verse 31. From the very beginning to the end, you can copy it after the meeting. Everywhere Paul went, he was preaching concerning the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom includes salvation. Includes a crucifixion, but also includes the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and even more so, his ascension and enthronement. If the Lord just died on a cross for your salvation, that's good, but it's not good enough. He has to rise from the dead. Which is more important? Tell me, crucifixion or resurrection? Why? Paul said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, you are still dead in your sins. The very fact that the Lord is risen from the dead shows that whatever he has accomplished on the cross was recognized, accepted by God because of his righteousness. So he was resurrected for our righteousness. So if the Lord did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. Paul says that very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, let me ask you, is it good enough that he rise from the dead and now become the Spirit to live in you? Is that good enough? Why not? Because God's work is for, the goal of God's work is for a kingdom. That is why Christ has to ascend to the heavens. What is he doing in the heavens? Sleeping, enjoying golf, playing golf with Billy Graham or something like that. Well, because that's what Billy Graham said, when he goes to heaven, he's going to play golf. My goodness, why would you be playing golf in the heaven? Just stay you don't have a golf course? Well, you have. I'm not even sure there's a golf course in heaven. Why would you be playing golf in heaven? You have nothing to do. When the Lord comes back, he's going to build his millennial kingdom. We'll have a lot of things to do and no time to play golf, believe me. We'll be ruling over nations with Christ together in a kingdom of peace and righteousness. Right. So, human concept cannot stand. No, cannot stand. So, Christ has to be brought to the throne in heavens to be head over all things, far above all things, and everything is under his feet. He is head over all things. He is ruling there, waiting until all the enemies become his footstool. Right. This is very clearly written there in Psalm 110. You can really see, right? He is sitting. He has ascended on high. He's sitting on the throne, waiting for all the enemies to become his footstool. And what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Right. So the church life here today on this earth is not just to have a Sunday morning meeting and then go home and we did our duty and pay homage to the Lord and drop a few cents in a box somewhere and that's it. No. We are here to build up God's kingdom, to deal with the enemies until all of God's enemies become his footstool. You think it's an easy job? It is not an easy job. So may the Lord really show us what it's all about. So Christ has to be brought to the throne. And that is why Ephesians chapter 1 says, he is appointed, made head over all things to the church. Head over all things to the church. This is not a small matter. This is the work of God in Christ Jesus. And today, who cares about Christ being the head? The pastor is the head. Or the so-called apostles, the ministers, they want to be the head. The Pope was the head. But the Bible says Christ is the head over all things to the church. Over a few things? How many things? All things. So do we go to him for all things? In the Song of Ascents, we are like the servants who are looking to the what? To the hands of the Master. We have just gone through the songs of ascent, like maids looking to the hands of their mistress. So we are looking to the hands of the living God, waiting for his mercy to show us what to do, to be submissive to him. Right? Those should not just be doctrines to us. I hope not. I hope not. Otherwise our conferences will be in vain. Will be in vain. It must be at least our practice. Or at least we must start to learn to practice the truth according to God's word. Right? Otherwise, then, why do you go through a conference? Why do you come such a long way to sit here? Right? And suffer such a trip and got stranded in Chicago. Oh, my goodness. What's the point, right? You must say, John, it's for the kingdom. It's for a kingdom. Otherwise why would you be coming here? It's for God's kingdom. It's not for anything else. We are not for anything else. It's for God's kingdom. And so you can really see the whole book of Acts. The apostles were sharing concerning the kingdom, which includes resurrection, which includes the ascension of Christ sitting on the throne. And God, and the peak of Peter's preaching and Paul's preaching is, this man whom you have crucified, God has not only resurrected, but caused him to ascend and to sit on the throne and made him both Lord and Christ. And he, in the Bible, is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may not see that today, but in his coming again, you're going to see that. But today, spiritually, the kingdom is in us. How can a king not have a kingdom? Isn't it strange if you say you're the king? Also, a king of what country? I'm the king of my own home. Well, that's not a king. You're just the father. You're the head of the house, not the king. If you say you're the king, you need a kingdom, right? Your last name is Wang. That's a very nice last name. But you know, I call his son King James because his son's name is James. So, and it's a new King James. I call his son New King James, right? But he's getting old, so he's going to become Old King James. That's not good. But if you say you're the king, then I will ask you, where's your kingdom? Why do you think the Lord is not coming yet? Because his kingdom is not ready. Christians fighting against each other, divided among themselves, cannot even be one, and didn't even care about what God, what the Lord is after. How can the king come back? Come back to what? If I were the devil, I'll tell the Lord, Lord, what are you coming back for? It's my territory here. Your church, they're under my influence. So what do you think the Lord is coming back for? Tell me, the Lord is coming back for Roman Catholicism, for Vatican? No, so strike that out. What about for the state churches, Lutheran church? Yeah? You mean to say for the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness? What about for the different divided denominations? Is the Lord coming back for that? For what? What about for a church in Toronto? We need to ask these questions. Don't just believe. I appreciate your faith, but Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. You believe, but you don't have substance. Your faith is empty, substanceless. And faith, Paul said faith is the evidence of things not seen. I don't see any evidence. What evidence do you have for the Lord? And yet we say we believe. We just believe. Well, we believe. You believe what? No substance, no evidence, and yet you say you believe. You believe. What do you believe? So, according to the Word of God, faith is a living faith that has substance. You cannot believe in nothing. You have to have the evidence. God, you cannot just believe in God without evidence. Well, God has a lot of evidence. Look at what he has created. There's so much evidence. The whole creation is an evidence of God's existence. Well, you don't just say, I believe in God. Oh, no, I don't see him, but I believe. Where is your evidence? No evidence. I just believe in his existence. Well, that's not the kind of faith the Bible is talking about. No. Right. So what about Christ living in you? Oh, I believe Christ lives in me, but how come I don't see you living Christ? Right. So today, we need to see that the church is really God's kingdom. A kingdom is very important, right? Full of righteousness and peace. Let us turn to a verse in Romans chapter 14, verse 21, how about that? No, I'm so sorry. Concerning the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. 14 verse 17, not 21. Goodness. My brain is not working this morning. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what?
Righteousness
and peace and
joy
in the Holy Spirit. And in the whole context, it's talking about a church life, the practice of the church life in Rome. The saints, they were fighting about this and that. Right? So Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Whether you eat meat, you're vegetarian, whether you keep one feast better than the other feast, these are all outward. Paul says, no, that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Whether you're a vegetarian, doesn't matter. You want to eat veggies, it's up to you. Just salad for your lunch. And you want to eat lamb, go ahead, eat as much as you like. Because the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. But what? The first point?
Righteousness.
This is important. And not your righteousness, His righteousness. His righteousness. So the more you're for God's kingdom, the more you will follow God's word, God's law, the divine law, even the law of life that is ruling within you. Because this is the first point in God's kingdom. The whole Bible says the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Our God is a righteous God. Praise the Lord. To be righteous, don't underestimate this important point. In this world, in human government, and in our fallen flesh, there is no righteousness. No. But with God, He is the righteous God. Right? Remember three adjectives that are very important to describe God. He is both righteous, He is holy, and He is glorious. He is God of glory, God of righteousness, and God of holiness. He's a holy God. Holy, righteous, and glorious. So Paul mentioned, first of all, the kingdom of God is firstly righteousness. That means in everything that you do it rightly according to God. You need to practice this. Anyone who lives in the kingdom or who is practicing to live a kingdom life, you have to learn to be righteous. Not according to your own righteousness. Like Paul said, the righteousness which is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's righteousness. And Paul says, Christ is His righteousness. So here, righteousness and peace. Peace is a big thing. Because we, the fallen human being, we're quarreling all the time. No peace. Everybody's fighting. I don't know what everybody's fighting for, but for everything. They fight for everything. So peace is very important. Remember Psalm 120 in the Songs of Ascent? I dwell too long, it says, among those who, what? Who hate peace, not who love peace. No. In the flesh, nobody loves peace, although they talk about peace. Everybody talks about peace, but nobody is peaceful. And a bunch of people who hate peace discussing about peace. This is what's going on in this world today. It's not the United Nations in New York, but the disunited nations in New York. Not the UN, it's the DUN. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Peace. And if you have righteousness, you will have peace. Why is there no peace? Because there is no righteousness. If you wrong me, there's no peace. Or if I offended you, there won't be any peace. Your husband said something that disturbed you, will there be peace? No. You reacted back, will there be peace? No. And if there's peace, and there's no peace, is there joy? Are you unpeacefully joyful? No, you cannot be. No peace, no joy. No righteousness, no peace. No peace, no joy. Yeah. That's very simple. The kingdom of God is very simple. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Yeah. Are you happy? If you're happy, you must be peaceful. And are you peaceful? If you're peaceful, you must be righteous. Because if you're not righteous, there's no peace. There's no peace. 没有公义，哪里会有和平？ 是不是? 没有和平, 哪里会有喜乐? 吵架, 哪里会喜乐? 我还没有看见两个人在吵架, 是欢欢喜喜的吵架, 喜喜乐乐的吵架, 在那边。 没有, 没有这回事啦, 有没有啊? 有没有见过? 没见过, 是。 Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So wonderful, dear saints. And today, this will be realized through Christ dwelling in us. It will be realized and experienced through our learning and exercising to live Christ in everything. Don't fight. Sometimes just because of a little argument, you lost the peace, and then you end up not talking to one another for a couple of hours. That would still be good for a couple of hours. A couple of days is worse. If it's a couple of weeks, then it's tragic. Right? So, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right. And then, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said in chapter 2, he came, actually, right, not by human wisdom, but by the wisdom of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason he said it, because the kingdom of God is not in word alone, but in the power. If you say you're in the kingdom, and we in the church life expresses the kingdom of God, and in our words, in our speaking, there is no power. Not even the devil is afraid of you. Right? Nobody's afraid. Nobody's touched by the power. And it doesn't work, then your speaking is empty. If you speak week after week after week after week, and not only week after week, but month after month, and year after year, and it doesn't go through, and it's powerless, doesn't change anybody, doesn't touch the heart of anyone, you know what I'll advise you? Stop. Stop. Repent. Because it is you speaking, not the Spirit, not Christ. It's just dead doctrines. Because there's no power. The kingdom of God, Paul says, is not in words, but in power. It must pierce through. You know, when Peter spoke during the day of Pentecost, his word pierced through the heart. And immediately there was a response. Men and brethren, what shall we do? There was a response. But if I'm speaking week after week, even year after year, no response. If I sense that my speaking doesn't touch any heart, forget it. I'll go to cruise with you, Shirley. I'll join you every year, year after year. I'd rather go cruising with you than to speak year after year without response. Forgive me. You know, sometimes I'm frustrated because I've seen too much. Frustrated. The kingdom, we are in the kingdom. If our speaking is not Christ speaking in me, that's what Paul says. You want to have a proof of Christ speaking, or who is speaking in me, which is Christ. And if he's speaking in me, then his speaking is powerful, operative in you. That is Christ speaking. If it is just me speaking and it's not operative in anyone, I might as well quit, change job. Yeah, I'll look for a job. Why not? Although I'm in a retiring age, but hey, I'll do something else. I'll play golf. Who wants to join me? Well, then what's the use? We are for God's kingdom. Right. If our president is right, every word that he says will be powerful, full of authority. If what he said is righteous, good for the country, it will be implemented. For a president to speak and speak and speak and nobody listens and nothing happens, tell him to quit. Yeah, why not quit? Really? And we are in God's kingdom. How come God's speaking is not effective, not powerful? It's not possible unless we are not his kingdom or he's not a king here. If he is the king, then his speaking must be in power, not just in words alone. So this is really God's kingdom. May the Lord have mercy on us. Right, so let us just, take a look. Why is it that we are so burdened concerning this matter of the kingdom? Because the Lord is coming soon. You better believe the Lord is coming soon. It's not just that we believe and without any evidence. You have to believe there is an evidence of the Lord's coming soon. Time cannot just go on indefinitely and, the Lord is not coming. No, we are living at the end of this age, where the Lord is coming back very soon. I cannot tell you the time, but I know it is very soon. Right? Nobody knows the time, but we can know the season. Because the Lord did tell his people, you can tell the weather, but you don't know the season of the Lord's coming, right? So we should know, and I do believe the Lord will indicate to us concerning his coming. So, now to give a general understanding of God's kingdom, because we are talking about God's kingdom in these days. If I write down right on top here, kingdom of God, right? Kingdom of God, if I write it down here, right? The kingdom of God is a very general term in the Bible. Right? From eternity past to eternity future, the whole thing is called the kingdom of God because God is the unique king. God is the unique king. So in the beginning of the creation here, this is the very beginning. God doesn't have a beginning, but a creation has a beginning. So in the beginning, God created here the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth was here. In the beginning, it was God's kingdom already. But in that age, the pre-Adamic age, remember who was in control, who was put in authority is the angels. I'll just write down the angels, right? The angel, and especially the archangel, AA, not triple A, double A, archangel, the angel of light, Lucifer, right? He fell. He fell. And because he fell, my goodness, everything on this earth became his kingdom of darkness. So you have the kingdom, right, of darkness. The power of darkness is right here. Okay. Then the Lord created. I'm just going to make it very short now. Then the Lord recreated here, renovated what he had destroyed, and judge after judgment. Then you come to the Old Testament times. This is the Old Testament age. The kingdom of God is expressed in the nation of Israel. So this is where we see in the Old Testament days now, God's kingdom. God is working to restore his kingdom. And he started by choosing Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And out of Jacob, the 12 tribes, out of the 12 tribes, God gained a what? A nation. Listen, God didn't just want a house. He didn't just want a nice city there. He wants to have a nation. And this nation is named after God's name, the Prince of God, Israel. Right? So here, it's God's nation here, the nation. It's a holy nation, separated from all the other nations. It's a holy nation. It's a kingdom of priests. So, but unfortunately, in the Old Testament days, the nation of Israel, they rejected God to be their king. Unfortunately, during the time of Samuel, you remember this history. Right? What happened? They said, we want to have a king just like all the other nations. And so at that time, they rejected God to be their king. It's very foolish. Who can be a better king? Right? Who could be a better king? So, subsequently, the nation of Israel began to go downhill and fell to such an extent that it became hopeless. So God gave up Israel as his kingdom and brought them into captivity in Babylon and in Assyria, the northern kingdom, to all the other nations. And after the fall, the kingdoms of this world was given to the nations to rule. So it is called now the times of the nations, of the Gentiles, or the times of the nations. So from Nebuchadnezzar, all this time here, during the time of captivity, all the way until today, it's called the times of the nations, because now the nations are ruling, USA being the top dog, world power, right? In the view of Europe, you have so many other nations. It's chaotic, okay? So now we are the end of the time of the nations. We are right here. We are right here. Now, then comes the New Testament age when Christ really came. The King himself came. The New Testament age. The New Testament age. Now, in this New Testament age, it is called now the kingdom of the heavens. Now, this is a new term, the kingdom of the heavens. Here. The kingdom. This is a new terminology now. It was not used in the Old Testament days. So now, in the kingdom of the heavens, it is divided into two sections. One section is called the church, which is today. And then the other section is the coming again of Christ, which will be the millennial kingdom. I'll just write mill kingdom. you. Right. So the church age is the age of the kingdom of the heavens. That's why the Lord preached the gospel and said, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Why is it called the kingdom of the heavens? Because now the kingdom is fully a heavenly nature, not earthly. Doesn't mean that it is heaven, but it is heavenly. Not L-E-E, but L-Y. Don't name your son Heaven Lee. Your last name is Lee. Right? But it is heavenly. Heavenly. L-Y. Heavenly. It is divine, heavenly nature, which is within us. It's not outward. That's why in Luke chapter 17, I believe it must be in chapter 17, the Lord says, behold, the kingdom is not outward to be observed, but a kingdom is within you now. And this is what the Lord is building today, a kingdom that is within us. And this is visible on this earth in the church, not in heaven. Not in the heaven. That's why the Lord asked his disciple to pray, thy kingdom come. Not thy kingdom go. No, there's nothing to go up. No kingdom to go up. But his kingdom, his rule must come down. He wants to bring his rule down to this earth. What was lost at this age here, it was lost. Here, this was lost here. It was lost here. And now the Lord is going to use his kingdom now to deal with this darkness and to bring his kingdom back to this earth. This earth is very important. You need to see this. Right? So today, the church is very important because that is the precursor of the millennial kingdom. So if you are not living in the kingdom today, don't expect to be in the millennial kingdom when the Lord comes back. Not possible. That's why in Matthew chapter 25, people say, Lord, Lord, open a door to us. The Lord says, oh, too late. Sorry. I don't know you. Don't think they are not saved. They are saved. But they are not qualified for the kingdom because they are living in the flesh today and not living in the reality of the kingdom. You have to live in the reality of the kingdom in the church for you to qualify to enter into the kingdom. That is why the Lord says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So if I'm not doing my Father's will today, I'm doing my own will every day, doing my own thing, doing what I like, etc., then you think I will enter into the kingdom? The Lord will tell me, did I not tell you? Did I not tell you, Matthew chapter 7, not all who calls Lord, 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 Lord will enter into the kingdom. Lord, Lord, did I not preach in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do so many good works in your name? The Lord will say, depart from me, you lawless people. Right? So here, you need to have a whole picture of the kingdom. Of course, it's not long enough. Then after the millennial kingdom, then you have the new heaven and new earth, and then that's the eternal kingdom. Everybody will be there. But in this millennial kingdom, not all the Christians are going to be there. So the Lord will still have to deal with you to perfect you, to qualify you for the eternal kingdom in the new heaven and new earth. But, you know, hey, sorry, it's too short. You don't need to see it now. Because what is imminent for you is to enter here, not here. Here is, it's up to there. So are you ready? Is this your goal? What is your goal? Your goal is to go up here? No, the kingdom is coming. You're going the wrong direction, sorry. Wrong way. You're going against the flow of traffic. The whole kingdom is coming down and you want to go up. No, don't do that. Right. Like I said many times, you only go up for 3.5 years and you come down again. You're going to come down again. So may the Lord open up this view of the kingdom here. So this part here, the church, is what it's all about today. Because the church today is the kingdom of the heavens. In the pre-stage, in the preparation stage, this is the prep stage. And how is the Lord preparing us? Is just attending the meeting every Sunday and go home and do your own thing? And live your own life? And do whatever you like to do? Is this the way the Lord going to build up his church? No. There's a lot of things the Lord needs to do in your life and in my life. The Lord has to renew my mind. The Lord has to show me still so many things I don't know. And the Lord has to show me what he's doing now and today, at the end of this age. I don't want to get stuck like Martin Luther 500 years ago. I'm living not in the age of Martin Luther. I'm living in the age in 2014. Hey, what age are you living now? Are you living in 1900? The Lord's work is ascending and always moving. And we need to move with him. Young people, don't say it's too hard. Why is it too hard? It's not harder than your studies. You just don't want to. You just don't have the concept the Lord has to work on me. Did you finish your study? Almost. Is it hard? Is it impossible? No. Do you work on it? It worked. You're going to graduate soon? Well, you see, it's easy. Entering into the heavens, let the Lord work in your life day by day. What is so hard about it? Say yes to the Lord. Is it so hard? Say no to evil things and the worldly things and all that. Is it too hard? You don't even have to do homework. Why do we have such terrible fallen concept? Saying it's difficult, it's hard, I can't do it, I can't make it. I can show you a verse that says no temptation will happen to you but such as is common to man. And with the temptation, God will provide you a way of escape. Well, you don't believe that. You think it's too hard? What about songs of ascent? The snares are too difficult to break. What did he say? Broken the snares. The Lord has broken the snares, and we, like the birds, we are escaped. You know the word escape? Is it hard to escape if the snare is broken? But if the snare is broken, and you still prefer to stay inside the snare, it's your own fault. I have never seen a bird where the cage is open, but the birds still stay there and singing, and singing inside the cage and staying in this cage. If I were a bird and the cage is open, I'll be flying away in no time. But if you would prefer to stay in the snare, there's nothing the Lord can do anymore. The Lord just opened, break the snare for you, and you still want to stay in there. What do you expect the Lord to do? Lord Jesus. So whose fault is it if you want to stay in the snare? Don't blame God, okay? Don't blame God. So today, in the church life, you can really realize from all this picture here how important is the church concerning the kingdom. Right. And the very fact in Romans chapter 16, Paul wrote to them, the Lord will put the serpent soon under your feet. Right, isn't it good? That means we can conquer the enemy. Right. Satan will soon be under our feet. Are we aiming for that? Do you like to see that? Or don't you like to see that? Right. So here we are fighting a wonderful battle here. We are fighting a battle. The church, the whole church in Ephesus there, in Ephesians chapter 6, they are fighting this power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness here. But unfortunately, we don't see that happening very often among Christians today. It's the other way around. We are being defeated again and again and again and again. Although the Lord said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Well, if the gates of Hades is prevailing, that means what we are building is not his church. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely just a human religion or men's organization, powerless, can't do anything. Yeah. Then what are we doing? Then what are we doing? So in this picture, we can really see this is the time that the Lord is training us. Many people say, oh, when the Lord comes back, he will make us all one and build us together. I said, it's not written. Sorry. Sorry. If today we are not built up, don't think in 1 second, in the twinkling of an eye, the church is going to be built. This is not written in the Bible. Definitely not. In a twinkling of an eye, yes, you can get a new body, your heavenly spiritual body. But if you're not built today, don't expect to be qualified for the kingdom to rule with Christ. Can you imagine I live today a very fleshly life? I do whatever I like. I enjoy the world. I am for myself. I do whatever I want. And all of a sudden, when the Lord comes, I'm a co-king with him. You think, wow, I must be schizophrenic or something like that. The church life today is the kingdom age, and Christ should be the head over all things to the church. He's the head of the body, and we must grow up into the head in all things, to let Christ rule in every area of our lives. Then the Lord will have his kingdom. Then the Lord can tell the whole universe and all the angelic being, here is my kingdom, the church. Otherwise, if the angels will ask the Lord, okay, show us your kingdom. Where is the kingdom? What's it going to say? Oh, Vatican. Vatican, no. That cannot be. What will be this church? What will be his kingdom? Can the Lord call us his kingdom? Do we have the real consciousness within us, Lord? We are here expressing your kingdom today. Lord, have mercy on us. Show us what to do. You are the head over all things. The church belongs to you. The church does not belong to any man. If it is man, if man is the head, then it's man's church. It's not the Lord's church. Okay, Vatican belongs to the Pope and the whole hordes of cardinals and whatever they are there. It's not God's kingdom. Definitely not. It's full of darkness. How can a place full of darkness be God's kingdom? It's not possible, right? If it's full of darkness, it belongs to somebody else called Satan, because he is the prince of darkness, right? So here, but a church must be full of light, must be full of life, full of righteousness, peace, joy, oneness, build up with the whole body obedience to the headship. growing up into the head in all things, like Ephesians 4 said, and arriving at a full maturity, the oneness of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow, my goodness, what a wonderful words expressed there. Right? This is the kind of church that the Lord can say, that's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. Is he getting such kingdom? Or are we also busy with our own little kingdoms? Are we also busy with our own little things? Everything else is more important than a kingdom. If so, then the king cannot come back. Right. So may the Lord really get his kingdom. Time is up again. We'll continue this evening. Praise the Lord.